Welcome back. Joe Torta here with you, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli producing the program. Hope that you're having a great week and an exciting weekend coming up. Obviously, we're evaluating what Malcolm Jenkins said, which is that football is non-essential and that there is really there's no need to play until risks are completely eliminated, is what he said on CNN. In order for him to feel comfortable. He said we, and then he said I, to feel for me to feel comfortable. And then also came out and said that, you know, we all want to play. Everybody wants football to play. He said everybody that, you know, him and then the rest of the players want football to come back. So we're evaluating that. Is football essential in 2020? And we'll go from there. It's been a really productive conversation so far. Really appreciated all the callers. Let's go to Jeff and Kennett Square next on The Fanatic. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Joe. I just tuned in, caught a little bit, and sorry if I'm getting backlash here. I might have turned on my radio here. So I caught the tail end of, I didn't hear live what Malcolm said, but I heard kind of gist of what you said.
And sure.
I think you are completely off base in terms of questioning Malcolm's desire to play.
Okay.
You say, if you want to play, you will. Is he has a legitimate health concern. And then you bring in the protest thing. Your caller Damian was spot on, by the way. Spot on. So first off, I presume Malcolm was probably wearing a mask when he protested. And I'm going to throw some stats at
sure.
you. Because I come, I'm an engineer by trade. I'm working marketing now. So two things. One, I just moved back to the Philadelphia area from Boston, and the Boston Globe has run numbers, and they said the protest in Boston, they did random spot testing. I don't know what the numbers, how many people they tested, but they estimated that 2.4% of the people that protested came down with COVID.
Okay.
And presumably those were people that weren't wearing masks. So if Malcolm is wearing a mask, it's probably lower. So that's first comment.
Okay.
The second comment is, have you ever heard of Lancet magazine?
I have not.
Medical journal. It's a medical journal. It's 200 years old. It's based out of the UK. It's kind of like the European equivalent of the New England Journal of Medicine.
Okay.
And they ran a story and they said, if you adhere to the 6 feet guidelines, you have an 18% chance of catching COVID.
Mm-hmm.
If you wear a mask, you have a 3% chance. And if you're outside, you have an 18 times lower chance to catch it. So when you consider that in the protest,
mm-hmm.
what Damian said is this is something he believes in. This is life or death. So I think you can throw out all the risks there is he'd probably be willing to march if the risks were even higher.
Yeah, that's what I said.
When
willing.
Damian said,
yeah, he wants to. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, Jeff. I'm not sure we disagree there.
So football. So now let's bring it to football. He said he wants to play, but what Damian said is spot on, that he doesn't have to play. Is if he doesn't feel healthy going out and playing and he thinks the risks are too high, he has every right
absolutely.
To sit out.
Absolutely. Jeff, you haven't said anything that I disagree with yet. What I said is that if anyone, whether it's a coach, whether it's a player, whether it's executive, whoever, if you have a health concern for you, your family, it doesn't matter. If it's health related and you don't want to go, don't go. I'm not comfortable with making people go. What I said is Malcolm Jenkins said that the risk would have to be zero for the players to come back and play. I don't think that he's speaking for everyone because, first of all, I don't think a risk being at zero, even with what you said, right? Like with the mitigating factors, I didn't hear 0% risk in there. So like if that's the standard, I don't think that should be the standard for every player in the NFL because I'm not 100% convinced that every player in the NFL feels the same way that Malcolm does about taking the health risks associated with playing football. Do we agree there?
Yes, but two comments to that. I heard you say where he originally said we and he changed it to I. So the first comment is I'm willing to bet that a significantly large percentage of people in the NFL players side with Malcolm.
Okay.
And let's just, for argument's sake, let's just say 20% of the players side with Malcolm.
Okay.
The second thing I thought you did say is you challenged him. He said, if he wants to play, he'll find a way. And briefly on the 0% thing, I think he's probably using some exaggerations there. It's maybe if the risk is 1%, he's using 0% for emphasis on that. What he's trying to say, though, is that the risks have to be very, very low. And frankly, I don't think we know what the risks of playing football. Now, I'll throw in European soccer starting to open up and largely seems successful. European soccer, I'll call it limited contact, is much different than NFL football. We don't know what the risks are for playing football. So,
I mean, we kind of do, right? Like, if it's contact and it's being close and stuff, right? Like, we kind of do.
Where are your numbers? Show me where we know. We hardly even know what the risk is. Aside from the Lancet Medical Journal, I've been asking for 4 months, what are the risks? We hardly even know what the risks of walking down the street are.
Okay, if that's the case, then why are we, then what, if that's the case, if it's, you need concrete evidence that this helps and this doesn't, and the Lancet article is the only one that we have, then why are we even bothering with masks and social distance and stuff if we don't know? We're taking our best shot,
so,
right?
So recent evidence has come out in the past month, and if you listen to the CDC, they changed their tune 180 degrees from a couple months ago, and they said masks now are effective.
Right. I've heard that
recently. The Lancet article supports that. The Lancet article supports that. That's recent. So we are getting evidence, but we don't know playing football. You can't play football with a mask covering your nose and mouth.
I don't agree. I bet that you can. That's kind of what I'm saying. Sorry, Jeff, we got to move on here. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you listen, and I know that you didn't listen to the whole show, so I'll try to catch you up as best I can. First of all, it's not my job to fill in the gaps, right? Did Malcolm Jenkins say the risk would have to go away or be eliminated or something like that or not? Like, did he say that or not?
Yeah, it'd have to be removed.
Right, it'd have to be removed.
That's what he said.
So, like, it's not up to me to fill in the gaps. Oh, Malcolm probably meant 1% or 3%. Like, that's not up to me. I'm only evaluating what Malcolm Jenkins said. Could it be hyperbole? Possibly. But I don't know. My point still says, why would he feel the need to come out and make another statement saying, hey, we all want to play, if it doesn't come off as like, hey, I only want to play if the risk percent is zero. Translation, I don't want to play. Like, that's why the clarification comes up. Now, what? I'm not one to say that Malcolm Jenkins is a liar. Let's say that his clarifications, I believe him. I do. He says, I think that everybody wants to play. Okay, if that's the case, then your position before of the chance has to be zero for me to feel comfortable, then that wasn't true. It's like, both things can't be. That's what I mean. You can change your mind. You can get updated information. You can rethink things. I've been there. We've all been there, I think. But like, to look at it and say, from a physical perspective, that a league returning with safety concerns for its players, with rules in place that, while they might not be 100% from like a medical journal, are our best shot, our best guess at doing what we can to keep everybody safe while still preserving what football looks like, versus protests and like hoping that everybody does the same thing, hoping that everybody's wearing masks, hoping that nobody's slapping high fives, hoping that people are doing social distancing, right? Not unlike what Malcolm was describing early on. Like, that to me seems like a way less controlled environment. Let me be as 100% transparent as I can be. I am not demonizing protests or rallies or marches or anything like that, even a little bit. Not even close. If you care enough about something, you should be able to take the risk into your own hands, weigh it and say, hey, this is what happens if I stay home. But if I go out and I walk and I protest and I demonstrate or I show up at a rally or whatever it is, then at least I'll be on the record and I'll be trying to make a difference. I'll be trying to make a positive change in cause X. You should do that. It's the best thing. But that's not like, I don't know how you can not look at it and say, hey, also, on the flip side, all of those same risks exist for playing NFL football. I know that in both cases, I'll be in close proximity. I know in both cases, it's possible that not everyone else is doing what they should be doing. But there are benefits to both. There are benefits to playing NFL football, and there are benefits to marching in rallies and protest stuff. It does come down to what you want to do. These things are not dissimilar. And just as I would be fine if you would stay home from a protest because you're worried about health concerns, or you won't go to a rally or a press conference or whatever, because you're worried about health concerns for you or your family or your loved ones or anyone. I don't have a problem with that, nor do I have a problem if you don't want to participate in your job, whether it's the NFL, plumbing, Amazon, whatever you want to do. But to say that you can't play in the NFL if you want to is the same as saying that you can't go to the protest if you want to. One of these is constitutionally protected. I understand that. First Amendment. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is also something that's important. And that plays directly into playing NFL sports for a lot of these guys who make life-changing money, families life-changing money, legacy life-changing money. You should be allowed to take the risks that you're comfortable taking, provided that reasonable steps are put in place to protect the players, coaches, executives, and their families. So for anyone who said, I just caught this bit, I just caught that bit, that is the show boiled down to like 3 minutes. Let's talk about it. We do have a couple of open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Ryan in Lansdale's next on The Fanatic. What's up, Ryan? Ryan, you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, what's going on, Ryan? Can you turn your radio down in the background, please?
Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you, man.
That.
Appreciate it.
Hey, sorry. So I was just calling about the Malcolm Jenkins thing. I think I'm on the same page as that you are. I don't think it matters what you're fighting for. I think that it's a matter of the fact, like what's going on.
Yeah, like the motivation. Believe me, and I think that there are causes worth marching for and changes that are worth striving for. I get that, but for people to be like it's different, you playing NFL football versus going to one of these big time public events, I'm saying that physically, no, it is not.
I agree. And then again, who is Malcolm Jenkins to say what is essential and what's not essential? And, you know, it's really just his opinion. And we got to disagree with it as Philly fans because look at our secondary for the past couple of years and he was the captain of the team. So that's pretty much all I have to say. Plus, if you're asking why he comes out and makes a comment now, he just signed a contract with CNN. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, I saw that he was on CNN. That's where those comments are made. Ryan, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. And look, I think that Malcolm Jenkins and anyone should speak their minds on what is important to them. Shut up and dribble and shut up. Like, none of that was ever of any interest to me. Like, it's not something that I subscribe to at all. Dargan Franks tweets in. Hey, JT, I normally enjoy your shows, but I'm surprised you co-signed that idiot caller who doesn't know what the difference is from Malcolm taking a risk by protesting for people's lives versus taking a risk to play football. Once again, what Malcolm's motivations are, if you look at playing football pretty much for nothing versus protesting and standing up for what you believe in and your life, you're not getting an argument from me. It's not about that. It's that you can't say that I'm only going to play, I want to play football, but the big thing about football is that there's got to be a 0% health risk and also do this, like go out and protest. He should protest. Clearly he does. If Malcolm Jenkins has causes that he wants to champion and change that he wants to enact and he wants to lean on people and influence politicians and enact positive change, he should. He has a platform for it. He should do it. But to me, it's disingenuous, Dargan, to say, oh, yeah, well, like those health risks are okay, but the others aren't, because not everyone feels exactly the same way that Malcolm Jenkins does. There are probably players in the NFL or players outside the NFL who would fill in for players like Malcolm that say, hey, I totally understand where Jenkins is coming from, but for me, I need the money. I need the opportunity. I want the opportunity to play in the NFL. This has been a childhood dream. Is it exactly the way that I would have wanted to do it? No, but here I am. By the way, I've also advocated safety measures, some of which have been enacted. Some might be soon. We talked about the helmets all having the microphones in them, so none of the players have to huddle. Coaches can just talk directly and relay the plays in order to not have to huddle. Safety measure. Offensive and defensive linemen effectively wearing hockey-style clear face shields in between their face masks and stuff like that. Is it ideal? No, but I think it would help. I think it protects. How about gloves being mandatory for everyone who's going to be making contact with another? Not saying that football gloves will prevent all transmissions or anything like that. I'm saying that you take out the risks that you can. I'm not saying that you should just do things all willy-nilly. I'm saying that I am not comfortable with the idea that football needs to come back only if and only if there is a 0% risk factor involved, and that's what Malcolm said. I don't agree. Let's go to Josh in Lower Merion next on The Fanatic. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Okay, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to call, and I think some callers are getting a little confused. It's very obvious that you understand the difference between football and, you know, going to a march and a rally. That's not at all what you've been saying. You're just saying that if you're going outside and you're going to be mixing with people, then obviously the risk is the same no matter what it is. I mean, you could be going to an outdoor movie theater. You could be going to a rally. You could be going to football. You're not talking about which means more. I mean, I just think that, you know, the caller that called in, that, you know, you let go on for a little bit longer. I just feel like some people maybe aren't understanding what you're saying. At no point did you, and I've been listening to you for a long time. At no point during this epidemic did you ever say anything close to that someone should be forced to return to work. Or that, you know, if anyone had health risks in any profession, that, you know, they should be going back to work if they're concerned for their own health or the health of their family. So I just wanted to kind of clear that up, because it seemed almost like, you know, the message got a little mixed there for some of the callers. And I understand that this is a very hot button issue right now, and this is very emotional for a lot of people, and I totally get that. And I am really hoping that, like the one caller said, that this really makes some big changes in our world and in our society, you know, so my daughter can grow up in, you know, a better world than we're living. But you know what? This is not about that when you're just talking about the health risks. You're just saying that when you go out and you're putting yourself around thousands of people, albeit football, rally, whatever, the health risks are the same. That's just it. That's it. Plain and simple. And you know what? The guy, when he was giving you stats, and he mentioned the number 2.4% for Boston. That's the number of cases they had in all of Boston on an increase of level. So that really, as you know, it takes, you know, like this thing is so unclear, right? So we know it could take up a week, maybe 2 weeks for you know, those numbers to go high. So we can't really say with certainty that number won't go up. But I just want to be very clear here, because I love your show, man.
Thank you, Josh.
This is just a health issue here when you're talking about it in that sense.
Well, and the difference is, right, have you heard Will Barton and Kyrie Irving's comments saying that I don't think that we should be worrying about basketball when we've got bigger issues to worry about? Like, there are other people saying that, and Malcolm Jenkins could have said that, and that's also fine. But your point, my problem is, you know, the health thing, it isn't a health issue.
And last thing, Malcolm Jenkins is at the back end of his career, and he has made millions upon millions of dollars. Some of these young kids, they may be getting one chance at this. You know, it could be an older veteran who maybe always made the league minimum and he's still supporting his family. It doesn't matter. Malcolm Jenkins is at the top tier of money in the league right now that he's accrued over a career. So, you know what? I mean, we don't know how many players want to go back. I'll tell you, there damn well will be some of them, though.
Yeah. And Josh, thanks for the phone call, man. I really appreciate the kind words as well. Josh is kind of getting the message. So if I've been unclear on that for any reason, I'm sorry. But, you know, I just kind of tried to clear it up, and Josh did as well. Let's say it is 20%, like the caller said, right? Let's say that it's 20% of the NFL players. How many is that off the top of your head? Do we know?
20%, you figure 53 players on each roster. Multiply that by 32 teams.
Yep.
You're looking at what, 1,500 plus players?
That's almost 1,700 players.
So 20% of that, you're looking at a little bit over 350?
Okay.
About 350?
Yep, but there you go. You're good at math.
Yeah, a little
more. You're right. That's like 340. Okay. Yep. Do you believe, so that's an average of like 10 players, right, per team? Just about on average, something like that?
Yeah.
Do you think that you could find 10 players per team that on a fill-in basis would find the risks acceptable to play in the NFL? Possibly. I think you possibly could.
Yes. I think with the NFL, it's a little bit different with non-guaranteed contracts.
Yes, that is for sure.
That certainly hurts.
It does hurt. But guys, you're also not getting a shot to begin with. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, 53 yes. is not... The rosters are big. There are way more people that want to be in the NFL that aren't.
Sure.
Than that. So that's my point. Look, it's not perfect. And by the way, it's not that I'm even trying to usher in we've got to go back to normal, because you go back to watching NFL football with no fans in the stands and all of the players are all spread apart. There's no huddle yet. It's not going to be normal. That's not it. It's that I think that some people could use a win right now. If you're low, if you've been frustrated, if you've been out of work, I feel for you. And I bet that, you know, watch on Sundays probably helps. I think that all of the players who are uncomfortable with the health risks should be able to stay home, no questions asked. The fact that we're learning why some of these players are opting out of the restarts is also something I'm uncomfortable with, because I don't think that you should have to know why. But for those that do want to, I don't want to block their way. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti program, rolling on until 10 o'clock. Tyler Zuli's producing. We do have open phone lines. Two questions on the table for you. In light of Malcolm Jenkins' comments, do you consider sports and football in particular to be essential? And also, do you think that he's right in saying that the risks should be zero in order to return to work? It's the Joe Torti program. Until 10 o'clock. So keep it locked right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. We're together until 10. Tyler Zuli's producing. The Malcolm Jenkins comments, if you missed them, people said that they didn't hear them. So, Tyler, can we go back-to-back on this with what Malcolm Jenkins said first on CNN and then also what he added to the conversation afterwards?
Well, the NBA is a lot different than the NFL because they can actually quarantine all of their players or whoever is going to participate, where we have over 2,000 players, even more coaches and staff. We can't do that. And so we'll end up being kind of on this trust system, where the honor system, where we just have to hope that guys are social distancing and things like that. And that puts all of us at risk, not only, you know, us as players and who's in the building, but when you go home to your families. You know, I have parents that I don't want to get sick. And I think until we get to the point where we have protocols in place, and until we get to the place as a country where we feel safe doing it, we have to understand that football is a non-essential business. And so we don't need to do it. The risk has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back.
Okay, so that was the first bit. I didn't hear anything about motivations for not coming back other than health right there. Here's more from Malcolm.
To be clear, I want to play football. I think all my peers want to play football. It's how we make a living. But there's so much that we don't know right now. And what we look at, you know, what's happening in the country, cases are going up, projected deaths are going up. We look at what's happening in college football. Over 41 schools have outbreaks of COVID in their locker rooms as they try to come back for voluntary workouts. LSU's got 30 guys that are now in quarantine. We're watching other sports that will start up before football and see how they're doing it, what their protocols are, and if they'll work. There's so much that we don't know at this point, but I know that the bar for the NFL is going to be high when it comes to creating a safe work environment and making it as safe as possible for guys to come back. As we keep in mind, it's not just about the athletes and their health or the coaches or staff, but our families too.
Okay. I don't believe that I missed anything in there. It sounds like everything that Malcolm Jenkins said relative to the return of football and whether he's cool with returning has to do with health, which to me, by the way, is a good enough reason to stay away. But that doesn't reflect what, you know, some of the callers earlier have said, and some of the tweeters as well, that it has anything other to than health, right? That it's the state of the country in terms of race relations, in terms of the protests and the riots and the rallies and everything else that's going on. Like, is it actually, like, I believe people. When people say stuff, I believe them. So Malcolm Jenkins is talking about the health risks associated with returning to the field. And for him, for his family, for his parents, for his circle, if it's not a risk that he's comfortable taking, fine. I am completely cool with that. Am I saying that the NFL should return no matter what? Not even necessarily, because guess what? If their plan sucks, I don't want to be in it. If their protocols and their ideas are less than everything that they can reasonably do while preserving the game of football, then thanks, but no thanks. Tyler, do you think that the face mask idea for those in the trenches is something that could potentially, first of all, would it even help? And second of all, like, do you think it would be useful or workable?
I mean, statistically speaking, I think that it would. Okay. I think that it would help. I mean, the numbers are clearly evident that when not just one, but both parties are wearing a mask, it knocks the numbers down significantly of the percent of any kind of transfer. It's not 100% no chance at all, but I think it would significantly help. Is it going to take some time to getting used to? Probably. I don't think these players are used to wearing any kind of, you know, heavy mask or face wear around their mouth and nose, right, while they're playing. But if it is one of the primary risk eliminators, they're just going to have to get used to it if they want to play.
If it's something that would help. And I think it might.
Yes.
I think it might help.
I really do think it will.
So, like, I equate it to, and it's not exactly the same, but we've seen players in the NHL come back from broken jaws. And they had to wear visors, and they have to wear big cages around the bottom of their faces that they haven't worn since, like, the minors, effectively, right? And they always say it. Yeah, it's really strange and uncomfortable, messes with my vision sometimes, but I'd rather be safe. You saw Rip Hamilton come back from a broken, was it orbital or nose? I can't remember what exactly Rip Hamilton was dealing with when he wore the full, like, clear face shield. And then he decided to wear it the rest of the way because he got used to it. It helped, kept him safe, whatever. Is a broken jaw or a broken nose or something like that the same as the coronavirus? It's not. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show you that there are other places where adjustments have been made that may inhibit performance. It was the beak. Thank you very much, Tyler. It was the nose. There are other areas where, yeah, performance has been hindered. It's annoying that you have to do this or that or the other thing. But in the name of health, you make sacrifices. Everybody wearing football gloves. I'm also cool with this. I don't know if it'll help or hurt. If there's evidence that suggests that it could drop infection rates by 5% or 10%, it's probably enough for me to call it statistically significant. So deal with it. Like, there are things like that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I need to know what the plan is. But to come out and say that it has to be, the risks have to be removed, I don't know how that's possible. And if that is a big deal to you as a fan, I'm not sure what, like, you're standing on, because, like, CTE. And because, like, you know, Marcus Lattimore injuries, like there's all kinds of things that can happen that are, I would argue, in some cases as bad, like CTE, for instance. But just because that's always been here and this is new, CTE counts less than coronavirus, especially if we're going to be taking care. And if it's me and like, fortunately, my parents are in my circle effectively, and I would not put them in the at-risk age group. If my parents were in the at-risk age group or they had underlying conditions or stuff, I wouldn't be around them. I feel like that's something that, as a country, we've already adopted, right? I feel like that's protecting the most vulnerable among us should be the baseline to begin with. So that's why I look at it as players who might want to return to the NFL, players who, as Tyler said, it's a last chance, or somebody who is a rookie trying to break in, somebody who's a practice squad player who's trying to make it onto somebody's 53. Their risk tolerance is going to be higher. You know, Tyler's a learned man. You know about the way that people change their investment portfolios from the time that you are young to the time when you are retirement age, right?
Sure.
You swing for the fences when you're 19, 20 years old or whatever with your stocks, because the underlying premise is, and why most financial advisors would tell you to be aggressive the younger that you are and more conservative in your investments the older that you are, is because of time. You have all your whole life to make up bad investments and bad choices if you are young in like 19, 20, 21, first getting involved in stocks perhaps, versus when you're older and you're acquiring that to be your like pretty much income. Like that, it has to change. Clearly, Malcolm Jenkins' risks, not health notwithstanding, but it's a part of the conversation, so we can't cut it out. Where Malcolm Jenkins is in his career is way different than, say, where a Philip Walker would be in his career. I would venture that Philip Walker is probably much more willing to take a risk than Tom Brady. Much more willing to take a risk than Aaron Rodgers. Somebody who's A, made their money, B, on the tail end of their career, C, has nothing left to prove to anyone. This is what I'm saying. You'll find them. I don't think that those guys should be disqualified from chasing down their dream. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. A couple of name-related instances. Amazon has announced the new name for Seattle's NHL Arena. Did you see this, Tyler?
Yes.
It is Climate Pledge Arena. It'll include many environmentally friendly features. That'll be pretty cool. I saw that the Wells Fargo Center was recently named like the best building in hockey, which is awesome and it well-deserved considering the renovation that we had to sit through. But it looks fabulous now. It looks absolutely fantastic. It deserves it. I am always psyched about new arenas. I'm super upset that I haven't been to Minnesota or Atlanta in the NFL worlds because I've heard that those two stadiums are just breathtaking. I'm sure the Climate Pledge Arena is going to be pretty fantastic.
Well, you got a couple more to get to now put on your list between Vegas and LA.
Yep, absolutely.
Got two more really nice stadiums or supposedly really nice stadiums. So when we were in Vegas back in January, we flew over top, obviously. And I mean, you look at the Vegas stadium, the Raiders' new stadium.
Pretty awesome.
It is not an exaggeration when you liken it to the Death Star from Star Wars.
Really?
Because it is just this massive just structure that we didn't even know what it was.
Uh-huh.
Like when we flew in because we weren't sure how the end goal was going to look yet. And we all went, yeah, that's probably the Raider Stadium. And it was.
And it was. That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely have to add those to the list for sure. And also, for the second time in what feels like as many weeks, a country group has changed their name. We'll tell you which one next. It's Joe Torty hanging out until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. Together until 10 o'clock, Tyler Zuli is producing the show tonight. It's been a really good conversation. I've appreciated everybody's level so far. Really has been a fruitful conversation. 610-632-0975, centered around whether sports are considered essential. And also, the point that I brought up, have you heard, Tyler? I haven't heard, and I'm sure that there are idiots out there, but...
There are idiots everywhere.
Yes. Widespread, though. I have not heard people full on coming down on Kyrie Irving and Will Barton, and the guys were saying, hold on a minute. Like Damon called earlier, said some people don't want things to go back to normal. Some people still want some conversations to be had, some change, instead of just glossing over things. I think that's a totally defensible position to have, 100% a defensible position to have. I don't think that Kyrie Irving or Will Barton, outside of people who are like, oh, Kyrie's being some kind of Kyrie way again, no one's really like pushing back on those guys. So if that is specifically what Malcolm Jenkins meant when he's saying that by the risks have to be eliminated, he wasn't really talking about the health risk. I feel like he's kind of in position to do that if that's what he wanted to do, because everyone knows that Malcolm Jenkins is one of the leaders, I would argue, in the world on this kind of issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you think about it too. You go back to Irving and Barton for a second. Outside of Kyrie Irving, you know, continually trying to fight that the world is flat,
right?
You know, and that's just indefensible. There's nothing that Kyrie Irving said that is overtly wrong. Like, and you've heard me say a bunch of times, and I hope everybody has as well, where like I've given this blanket uniformity to, if you don't want to play for any reason, social, health, anything in between, that's fine with me.
I
don't care. So if you are, you know, if you are Kyrie Irving, if you're Malcolm Jenkins, if you're someone else, you know, like we talked about, Trevor Ariza has opted out. A couple other people are starting to consider. Avery Bradley is opting out. That's okay. I got no issue with it.
Look, I feel like it would be insane. It would be an insane position to be like, what do you mean you're not going to play? Like, as if you can ignore everything that's going on, all of the context in the country. Like, as if you could ignore everything that's going on in the world and say, well, what do you mean? You signed the contract. You better be there. Like, come on now. Honestly. Like, that seems like that's a ridiculous tack to take. I don't think that anyone's really taking, at least not on this show, no one's taking the tact that these guys should be forced to go back. Choice is important, but also informed choice. If I'm a player that is going to potentially want to come back because I want to make money, I want to get the paycheck, whatever, I like playing football, I want to make the pro, but whatever it is, right? Whatever my motivation is, I have to be going into that with eyes absolutely wide open. And I know that by returning to football, the fact that it's a blocking and tackling game, there's going to be some element of risk. I need to know how much risk is there so that I can give you an answer about how much is acceptable for me. Well, right?
And I think that that's fair. And I think that that is kind of going back to how we started the show is different than how we started the show. That in and of itself becomes a person-to-person perspective, a person-to-person choice. And much like we just said, we gave a blanket uniformity to players saying they don't want to play. I think I have to allow that for players that say they do want to play, barring any legitimate health league-wide, you know, country-wide mandates, right? So if the league
says... So if the NFL isn't totally moronic as they're trying to return to play, right?
Right.
If safeguards are in place,
right,
that are deemed reasonable.
Or if, you know, if the country says, hey, we've got a spike, we have to shut back down.
Sure.
Then you can't play, obviously. So I have to give that blanket uniformity to players that do want to play as well. Where I think that, again, where you and I split that road and we differ is that what Malcolm Jenkins said about football being essential to me is not so much the case. Like I said, essential to me means the most important production value possible in a particular job, meaning doctors, nurses, teachers, those kind of things. Those to me are the essential employers or employees.
Mm-hmm.
It is more so on this particular topic a personal choice.
Sure. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, you know, there's a lot. He didn't talk forever. Malcolm Jenkins said a lot. Like, and so that's why we can look at this part of it. And also the beginning, it's as good a time as any to revisit whether or not sports are considered essential, right?
Yep.
I think that the definition of essential is also kind of what determines where you come down on this or not. Whether it's, because to be fair, what the government has called essential functions, that was what was open at like the full-on lockdown portion of this, correct? And since that time, more businesses have opened, right? So the question becomes, is the NFL more important to your well-being than getting your hair cut? It sounds crazy, but that's the area where we are, right?
I don't believe that it is.
It's not more important than getting your hair cut?
I don't think so. And I think the reason that I lean towards it not being more important is that when I go to get my hair cut, when the barbershop opens back up,
uh-huh,
I know the inherent risk, and I think that's probably like my sponsored word of the day,
uh-huh,
is inherent risk of going to the barbershop, because I am going to be in a chair that someone else may have just sat in.
Yes.
I'm going to be getting my head and hair touched by clippers and scissors and things like that that were previously on somebody else's hair and head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be in close proximity to my barber, who I trust implicitly, but I don't know who else was there.
Okay.
So the difference is, for me, the NFL for me, the NFL for you, the NFL for whoever's listening out there, is an entertainment factor.
Sure.
Yes, for us, it aids our job. It is the important part of our job.
It's a lot of people's jobs.
But it is an entertainment factor for the average person. The average person is not making the personal choice of the NFL player potentially being put at risk. Effectively, what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is that sports and the players that play them, their health is more important than my entertainment value.
We've already covered that ground.
So that
ground's already, we already talked about the players making their personal choices. We're moved on,
okay,
to football's role in terms of like not just the players, America, right? Like that, because we agree about if you want to stay home, you should. If you want to go to work and play in the NFL, you should be allowed to do that, provided that there aren't, you know, stupid protocols in place. Like, I think that we found common ground there. So my point is, if that's already set, it seems strange to deem the essentialness or not of the NFL on that thing that we just already settled. Because like, I guess the question I should have asked you, not is it more important if you get your hair cut or if you watch an NFL game, even though I would argue that's still a relevant question, because I think that for a lot of people, watching the Eagles on Sunday is way more important than getting your hair cut. If you told people for the entirety of football season, you can either not cut your hair or not watch the Eagles, I would bet that you'd have some pretty interesting results. So like, that is something that I'm looking at, like pandemic or no pandemic. So like, that's what I mean, like from a mental health perspective, from a connection to the city perspective, from an emotional health perspective, I am not confident that getting buzzed or trimmed does more for you than watching the Eagles on Sunday.
Okay, and I think that's a fair point. And the mental health aspect of it is probably, I bet you if we went and looked for studies on the mental health aspect of sports and what it does to a person's psyche, it is a general good.
Tough to find, because we haven't been without it.
Right.
Yes,
I would imagine that it is a positive influence on most people's lives, even when their team is not successful.
Yeah.
It's an escape for a portion.
Yes.
The problem to me is when you talk about what are the other ways to find your help, like you talked about the people that go to therapy or go speak to a counselor or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
That is healthcare provided by either your your health benefits that you have from your employer,
okay,
or you pay for said health care, whatever it may be, that is an essential part of a of daily life for a lot of people. And if it's not daily life, maybe it's once a week, it's every other day, whatever you end up going to speak to someone,
sure,
and get that health care that you need.
And I don't mean to, I'm not trying to make light of anyone's health, mental health issues, especially if you're utilizing a professional health network to deal with those. I know personally, anecdotal evidence, personally, my headspace would be dramatically different if I didn't get my 60 to 90 minutes in the gym every day. Like, it would be dramatically
different. I agree.
So, like, that's kind of, I don't know. Like, maybe not everybody goes to the gym. Maybe it's the NFL. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know. You're right. We don't have any information on this because we haven't been without sports. It's never really happened. We've been without a sport. We've never been without sports overall.
Right. And I think so. The only way that I can circle back to it, I know we've kind of come to that common ground, but the only way that I can make this the sense of all of this is circling back to and kind of completing everything is that when I go see a psychiatrist or a therapist or a doctor, mm-hmm, or whomever,
yes,
whoever you go to see to help you, to help your mental state get better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are oftentimes either one-on-one or recently doing it over Zoom or, mm-hmm, or FaceTime or whatever protocol they use. You are oftentimes one-on-one and not putting anybody at an inherent danger by that meeting.
Sure.
You can continue that meeting even if it's not person to person. I know that doing things face to face sometimes adds additional value as opposed to FaceTiming someone or Zoom meeting with them, but you can still make that meeting happen. I don't know if you can play the games without putting players at risk to an extent. And again, I know it goes to personal choice, but I don't know if you can play the games without putting them to an extent of risk for our personal enjoyment.
610-632-0975. 8 o'clock hours straight ahead. It's Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.